Lord, send your word and perform what you would. Lord, we thank you. And in Jesus' name, God, quicken hearts this morning. Lord, specifically hearts here today, God. We need you. Lord, you're ministering truth to us. Lord, you're after us. God, we're your sons. Help every life here to be quickened right now to understand I am a son of God. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You are now a son of God. Lord, let us just rejoice and respond to you, Father, thanking you again for what you've given us. Oh, that great gift in your Son. We love him because he first loved us, and we love him because, oh, the great love wherewith we are loved. Lord, thank you. Grow that love in us. Grow it up. Praise you, Jesus. Let this word work effectually, because faith worketh by love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. We're going to be going to Jeremiah 15 to begin. We'll be over in Isaiah chapter 55. We will, God willing, get over into Hebrews chapter 5. We'll probably hit 1 Peter before then. Finish up in Galatians 2 and maybe see him face to face before it's all through. Praise God. All right. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now how wonderful, brothers and sisters. And I thank God the Lord has given us a passion, I do believe. Many a life in here, and I pray for every life in here, a passion for the word of his grace. I thank God that he has given me a passion by his grace that people would know the truth. To give me a heart, as Brother Paul, that I would not withhold a thing. That my life would truly live, especially as a pastor, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That this ministry which is his would all be the knowledge and understanding of the grace of God, that we would know the love of Christ. Now, how wonderful this is. How beautiful it says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And so simply, brothers and sisters, whether it's in the natural, but especially in the spiritual, we are what we eat. It's true. You know, I remember watching a show not too long ago about this guy. He said, for 1 month, I'm going to eat nothing but McDonald's. I don't know if anybody caught that. That's all he ate. Drank Coke, ate Big Mac, ate Coke, ate Big Mac. By the end of 30 days, and this was a healthy fellow when he started, he wished he was dead. But he looked dead because his diet wasn't right. Now, we understand in the natural, we want to take care of our bodies. We want to nourish them. God has told us in the Word of God how we nourish our bodies. Believe it or not, it's all there. There's nothing new under the sun. God knows this stuff. But science and different things has shown us that there's certain ways to eat that we can be more healthy and all of that. Well, the Word of God is so wondrous because he tells us, this is the only way you can eat spiritually. It's the word of my grace. It's my truth in love. And I'll tell you what, if this really will become our nutrition, what a satisfying life you'll have. I look at a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people throughout the week, and I'm talking about the world's unsatisfied, we know that. But I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about the very sons of God. They're very unsatisfied. They seem to be restless. People getting more restless all the time. And brothers and sisters, this tells us right here that we feast upon the word. We take this and just begin to feed upon it. It'll become the satisfaction of our lives. It will become the joy and rejoicing of everything that occupies in our life. And see, the opposite is so apparent. If we do not have this joy life living in our lives, we know very clearly that it's because the word is being neglected in our diet. It's something that's a hit and miss. It can be something that maybe we're not feeding on the whole counsel of God. Maybe we're trying to, again, compromise the truth, going to places that are more like eating out of a garbage can. There might be a scrap or two, but there's so much junk in between, it's a sad place to be. Sometimes the word can be very sharp, can it? And it is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right down to where the intent of your heart really is. Is your life about trying to satisfy you, satisfy others? About trying to get by, trying to, well, let's just find a happy medium? Or is your life really about Christ and pleasing Him? And by the grace of God, being filled with all the fullness of God. See, we have a choice of what we feed on. But the feast of the Lord is always before us. Turn on over to Isaiah chapter 55. Talking about the feast of the Lord. 55 verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." It sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Huh? It's all there, the fatness of it all, and it doesn't cost you a thing. Just come. That's just interpreted this way, show up. Praise God. "Wherefore, or why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not?" Huh? You ever been there? Oh, I know not you, but I'll testify I have. "But why would I waste my money on that? Why would I labor for things that are never going to satisfy me?" Again, it's going to end up one of two ways, brothers and sisters. Your life's either going to be, "Oh, I'm so glad that he did it," or "I wish I'd let him." And that alternative of "I wished I'd let him," that's a sad reality. God's encouraging us to wake up. Seek him now while he can be found. Do you know the word of God says that? And let me tell you something. He can be found. So, he says, "Wherefore do you spend for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which cannot satisfy? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And I'll tell you, David lived a lot of mercy. Amen? Oh, yes, he did. And praise be to God, the man after God's very own heart. Hallelujah. Wonderful stuff. But see, the only sustenance for every Christian is the Word of God. You have to realize and know this and just settle down in it. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But see, I live by faith. And again, what is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the Word of God. And that is your life. We try to live anything else, that is not our life. We try to get by any other way, we're not living. God has abundant life for us, brothers and sisters. But it's only in living by faith. And that is the life that we live. And there is no other way. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we eat the same spiritual food. Can you imagine that? Well, why would it be any other way? We have but one Lord. He is the Word. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. It's the Word of God. Turn on over to 1 Peter chapter 2. See, when we become a Christian, this is what we eat, and this is how we begin. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says there, I had that marked and now I don't have it marked. There we are, 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So we see right there, brothers and sisters, the Word of God is how we're going to grow. And just as newborn babes, it's milk that they eat on. It's milk that we feast on. I appreciated Brother Ray mentioning this morning. Brother David, I believe, mentioned it as well, too. God knows what he's doing here. But we need to eat. And as we eat and feed upon the Word of God, we grow. But notice, brothers and sisters, here, that it doesn't just all come at once. There is a process in this. And it's here a little, there a little. It says line upon line and precept upon precept. So again, we're getting these things as we get into the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, the learning curve of the Lord is awful steep. So don't think by the grace of God that something can't transpire in your life very quickly. I'm so thankful for the testimony of our brother Andrew, who is now present with the Lord. You know, he got filled last July up at camp. The Lord took him home here first week of May. And I'll tell you, in that short amount of time, I'm not going to venture what he received, but I'll tell you, every evidence is there in everything that he said, in all of the things that he wrote in that Bible, in the discussions that I had with him. I know that that life became a fully purposed life to win Christ as bridegroom. That's not just wishful thinking. I don't want to do that. It's not about blood relations or anything of that nature. It's not about somebody who's had a hardship. It's about the grace of God working in a life. And I thank the Lord that that was the evidence that was so apparent as growing in that life. And notice again, as I said, after he received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But how wonderful this is, that here we have this babe, and how wonderful to think about that. I remember my children, and as they would suckle on their mom, it was just so beautiful to watch and to see them grow, and such a tender thing. But see, the Bible, I'll tell you what, this is God's work, and God is, my sons think I'm an intense father. And I am an intense father. Why not be? I'm passionate for my kids. But I'm going to tell you something. That can't even compare with the passion that the Father God has in his heart for you. And I'll tell you what, right when they're born, bam, it's time to go, it's time to run. As I was up there fishing, it was so beautiful to see the pronghorns. They had starting to getting the little babies. They were little teeny things. And it couldn't even look like they could walk at all, looked like little sticks. And here they are, bitty, bitty, bitty. And I'll tell you what, that mom is galloping along, that thing's trying to keep up. We don't have time. We got to begin to run. We've got to eat. We've got to go. We've got to move. And by the grace of God, that's what the Lord is always after in his word. You go on over to Hebrews chapter 5. There's an urgency, brothers and sisters, a great urgency that the Lord is telling us. We need to grow up, and we need to grow now. Don't put this off. Seek the Lord while he can be found. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. See, the Lord wants you to move from the milk. He wants you to move from those beginning principles. And here's why. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. See that? Is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. It doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've gone to a church or how many times you've sang a song or how excited you've got. It's about the Word of God. And if you're only receiving the milk, the things from the beginning, the very principles, the first principles, that's all you will ever grow. I don't understand why people don't understand that. Why even in our natural education, you know, we begin with some addition and subtraction. We've got engineers sitting over here. We got lots of different ones. See, there, it said not many mighty, not any mighty, not any wise. We got some wise ones in here, but the wise understand this, that it's the wisdom of the Lord, not the wisdom of man. But if you were in a class and in first grade and they taught you addition, and you pass that and everything was fine, you show up for second grade and they teach you addition. You show up for third grade and they teach you addition. Show up for sixth grade addition, get into high school and they teach you addition. What do you know? You know addition. You never moved on to multiplication, division, certainly didn't get into algebra, geometry, trigonometry, calculus, whatever after that, astrophysics, then your head explodes. But you get what I'm saying, right? And why not? It's just the principles of God. It's his word. We try to think that some other way it's magically going to happen. It doesn't. You have to know the Word of God. And so Sweetly says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the Word of God. They remain a babe. They have no experience. See, when you start feeding on the Word of God, you're going to get experience, aren't you? Because you're going to be tested. Yes. You want to reign with Him, you're going to suffer with Him. You want to rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer together with Him. Babies don't suffer in the family, do they? See infants out here, and it's beautiful. Love these new little babies. But that little baby, that sweet couple back there and that new little girl, she's not suffering. Oh no, she might have a bellyache once in a while because her mama gave her so much food. But she ain't suffering with mom and dad. Huh? You get it? But as you grow and as you eat, you begin to suffer. As you even begin to understand in a family, these kids get 5, 6, 7, 8. They start to begin to suffer with family. They understand hardships, teenagers and all of that. But then, oh my goodness, you really want to have game on suffering? Get married. I'm in a good way. But it's the truth, isn't it? And you're willing to. Because why? Because love. Love. This isn't duty out time. Amen? This is a love, appreciate, love match. This is a love quest. This is a journey. This is a trek because of love. You'll never go on. And it's not your love, it's His love. It's the great love wherewith you are loved. And then He gives you that same love to love Him in return. That's what's amazing. And I tell you, that's when He begins to rest in His wife. Praise the Lord. So how wonderful that we have this. But see, He says, so everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know how little kids, they can be swayed very easily. You know, those you got to watch them. You have to tell them, now look, we got Candyman in church. He's okay. After you get out of church, we don't be taking candy from anybody. You know what I'm saying? You got to watch them because they're children. Amen? But you become wise as you mature, as you understand. That's the same thing with the Word of God. That's why you need to know the Word of God. Because there's a lot of wolves running around in sheep clothing. And there are a lot of sheep out there, believe it or not, that are sick, that aren't giving out the whole counsel of God, that are giving out error, that will bring in so much truth, but then they scatter in things that aren't so. Amen? We need to know that. We need to stand and withstand, and having done all, to stand. But see, the Bible tells us to grow up. So what is required to mature? Yes. You got to move on from milk. You got to move on from the beginning things. You got to move on by the grace of God into the depths of His Word. We need to hear the whole counsel of God. Amen. So we see in this passage, Paul is getting after them. These are ones, brothers and sisters, that should be eating on the depth of the Word of God. These are ones that should be feasting. Isn't this interesting? Again, this is Brother Paul that says this. Why is it Paul that brings this forth? Because Paul was given the dispensation, the mystery of Christ in the church. He was the one that brought forth the bridal message. This is why he is that chosen vessel to bring forth this chastening of the Lord. This was through Paul, but this is the Lord's chastening to these people. Wake up! I gave the chief of sinner, get that? To magnify my grace, Paul, the chief of sinner, I gave him the most magnificent offering that I would ever give to any people that would ever be. We have been given the better thing. We have been given the exceeding great and precious promise. Read, know the word of God. We now live in the time of the bridal message. And Paul is quickening these people. He's saying, hey, look, you got to grow up. You got to start eating and feasting upon the deep things of God, upon this wonderful whole counsel. You need to hear the bridal message. You've got to hear these things. You've got to get back in there by the grace of God and have this word rightfully divided unto you. But see, why are they back at the beginning? Why is this chastening going on? Well, in this same portion of Scripture, go back to the 11th verse of the 5th chapter of Hebrew. Of whom we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Did you hear that? It's not that they're hard to be uttered or hard to be understood. See, don't ever get into that. These are deep things, but the gospel is always simple. I'll assure you, and everybody will testify here by the grace of God, that really has enlightened eyes of understanding, that sees the bridal message. Is it something that's really complicated and hard to see? It's as simple can be. Amen? It really is. Like I told you, it's just like seeing those pictures. I remember God showing me that. You know, they have a picture that's hidden in a picture, and it's got all them shapes and colors and all those things, and you can't really think, that just looks like a bob of colors. And they say, oh, no, no. Don't you see the picture of the eagle in there or the horse in there? And then you see it in there and go, oh, my goodness, it just jumped right out. A lady paints that. She puts horses in aspen trees and things. She's a wonderful painter, and you're supposed to find all of the different horses in there. Fabulous, but it's amazing. And then, but once you go back to that picture, it's not hard to see it. That's the thing that keeps popping out. That pops out all the time, doesn't it? That's what the bridal message does. When you begin to see the bridal message, it just begins to pop out all over the place in the Word of God. All over the Old Testament, all over the New Testament. Just boom, 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 boom. Oh my goodness, this is awesome. Because the Bible says you get enlightened eyes of understanding. You begin to see this, praise God, in the Spirit, by His Spirit. And then you begin to get understanding. Then you begin to get a pitter-patter in your heart, this quickening that says, oh, Jesus, I love you. I'm panting for this stuff. I'm getting delirious for you. I'm starting to agitate and bother people that have known me for a long time. They're saying, we used to like you were. What's wrong with you now? Well, I'm falling in love. Amen? I love it. We need to get twitter-pated in Christ Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing. And that's what God has for us, brothers and sisters. It is so wonderful. But you see, it says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing, for when the time ye ought. See, look at this. You guys ought to be teaching this stuff. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Is that just unbelievable? But see, it's so simple. The simplicity of it all is they wouldn't hear. They quit eating. Somehow, some way, something happened. And what really happened is they weren't satisfied with it anymore. They didn't want to hear it. They got complacent. See, the Lord has set a double portion table before us, brothers and sisters. You know that. That feast is there all the time. It's all the time. And all we have to do is sit down and eat. But if we refuse to eat at that table, you have chosen to eat at another table. You are eating something. You're always eating something. Don't think you're just shutting it off. You're eating something. You're either eating spirit or you're eating flesh. You're either eating grace or you're eating works. And it's the truth. So don't think that you're going to... Neutral, you can't be. Everybody's doing something. Huh? Come on. And this is exactly what this is saying here, brothers and sisters. And if we refuse to eat at that buffet, we're never going to fully grow up. And once again, you are what you eat. We don't go into the depths of the Word, we will never grow up. We don't go on in Paul's gospel as he went back and he told those Galatians, your growth is stunted. He said, who hath bewitched you? Amen? He said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? How were they preaching this wonderful gospel of the grace and glory? And then in one moment of time, they're back over in that legality. It's because they quit hearing. They quit feasting on the banquet. And instead they went over and ate out of the trash can. Now there's lots of instances of that. Churches do that. I've seen pastors start out so well. I've had testimony recently of a pastor that this couple loved to go to their church. But as the church began to grow, The pastor got into, well, let's continue to grow the church. So how is the church going to grow? Well, we can put our statement of faith back five layers deep in what we believe. But when we all come into the auditorium, we don't preach that. But we can stand on those principles. But see, if I preach that, that's going to offend somebody, and then they're not going to come. Let me tell you something. By the grace of God, let me offend. Let me offend and offend and offend. Not that I would provoke you in me, but by the grace of God to preach the word of his grace. Amen. But see, again, malnourished is malnourished. And what does it is when we become dull of hearing. See, we can make a lot of excuses. Well, this is how I need to hear the word of God. And this is what I need to see at this meeting. And this is the kind of music that's got to be here. And this is the kind of kids programs we have to have. And we got to have screens. And we got to have this. Brothers and sisters, we got to get out of all of that nonsense. If a screen magically appears here, I pray it wouldn't offend anybody. But I know a few people would probably give up the ghost. I was thankful to hear that Sister Clark actually had one, because they have a lot of elderly people that can't see. They can't see the Bible. They can hear the word of God, and that's wonderful. So she puts the word of God up there. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine that, sister? Where are we? Where are we? You know, think about that. You live in some tradition in your head, or we live in the word of his grace. Praise the Lord. But don't make excuses. Dull of hearing is dull of hearing. Slothful. Excuses. I ask you this. How excited are you about Jesus? And I thank God. I believe you're very excited about him. It's the grace of God. That's what's brought you here. You wouldn't come back. The excitement is him. If we ever preached anything else, if we ever went another way, God help us. We missed it. It might entertain you for a moment. You might say, hey, this was a really great place to be. But it won't satisfy you. Just like we began today, it won't be your joy and rejoicing. You can try to make and cut deals. Well, my husband doesn't like this, or my wife wants it this way, or, you know, my kids don't want to come. They don't have a drum set. I don't know. You know? By the grace of God, we need to hear the word. Amen. And love the word and be excited about the word of God. And pray to be excited about the word of God. And I'll tell you, you know how you get excited? Be thankful. Quit complaining. Just be thankful. Really, and care. Care. Care about your walk. See, we're living in a time people don't care. People do not care. The only thing they care about is satisfying the lusts of their flesh. And that is the truth, isn't it? Don't bother me. Don't get into my business. Don't tell me what to do. This is what I need. I deserve it. Victim, victim, victim. I'm going to say one thing real quick and we'll get back onto this. You become a victim. You're done. There was one, and he took it all. Get out of that, and it'll come at you in every way. Doesn't matter what person's here. Get out of it. The enemy has an infinite number of tables spread, and he does. Infinite. God's got one. Devil's got a bunch. And all he serves is poison. Only thing you can eat when you're eating at his table is something that'll steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. Everything that's good will go away. The Corinthian saints in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they could not bear, they couldn't hear or feast upon strong meat. And let's read why they couldn't feast upon strong meat. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, Paul says to him, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as only unto carnal ones, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See, sweethearts, I'll tell you, the biggest reason that we turn away from, I really do believe, and many times we turn away from the whole counsel of God, is we choose the table of pride. We do. Our self-interest, our self-will. You know, we feast upon, I was thinking like proud muffins and stuffed pride shrimp. You know, it's the truth. It's all about me stuff. God help us to want to really disappear. Amen. He's the only one that's got something to say. I don't have something to say. He's the one that says it. But this went on to tables of idols and sexual desires, more and more and more poison. And it didn't just stop there, brothers and sisters. You remember Peter in Galatians 2? When Paul had to rebuke him? It was because he was bringing the ways of the law, legality, back into the lives of believing Gentiles. You'd think, well, Peter, you know, God slapped you upside the head so many times. When's this going to stop? But there was old Peter. And you think, how in the world, Peter? You know, I mean, again, this is after Christ rose. And he'd been with Paul and had heard this teaching and all of these different things. But how in the world, Peter, were you preaching to these believers, these ones that have just received the word of God? How was it that you were bringing them back into legal teaching? It's because of what he was eating. It was because who he was eating with. See, he went back and he was sitting at the legalist table. But see, I love Brother Paul, because I'll tell you what, he had lunch with him. He had the buffet always with him. He had the buffet that never withheld a thing with him. And he just said, let me tell you something, Peter, this ain't going down anymore. I'm not going to withhold a thing from you. And praise be to God, as he told Peter in Galatians 2:16, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Just think, three times in that wonderful verse, Paul makes it very clear that your works will never get it done. Your works are absolutely worthless. Why then do we want to feast at that table? Isn't that interesting? But that's a table, again, that is so tempting, because it satisfies somehow, some way, that I get some recognition. All right. In closing, I'm going to say this. You eat bitterness, you'll be bitter. You will. You eat with ones who eat the winds of doctrine. You know what the winds of doctrine are, don't you? The making of books, there'll be no end. Huh? Oh, those wonderful mouthpieces that can preach such glorious sermons. And I'm going to hear them and all these sorts. But if you sup with them and eat at that table of the winds of doctrine, you'll become unstable. You'll begin to wrestle with the truth. You can ask some in this place, and they'll be glad to tell you, ones that had went that way, but by the grace of God, they came home. And it's not this place. It's the message. They'll tell you, you go that way long enough with the wind of doctrine, God will turn you over to a lie. And don't doubt what you may be worshiping before long. But for the grace of God, there go I. So know this. So I ask you, what table are you eating at? What is your spiritual diet? Do you go to church for tradition? Do you go for entertainment? Do you go because it's at a convenient time? Do you go because pastor doesn't preach too long? Or do you go for knowledge and understanding? Knowledge and understanding. And that'll be the last scripture I'll read today. Here's what the Lord says. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors Isn't that something? God gives pastors. Man does not give pastors. There's not pastor mills. No. Nope. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Okay? So by the grace of God, may we eat from his table. May we desire the strong meat. May we have an appetite by the grace of God. I will not be satisfied without Paul's gospel. Yea, only the deep things of God by his Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word and your encouragement. And Lord, it is so direct, and we thank you for it, and just want to marvel in the beauty of your love to us and what you have for us. We don't need to wrestle with these things. Just help us to settle down. Help us to truly, because of your love, to be obedient to you. It's a wonderful thing. Thinking about even this life, oh, obedient, that's a bad word. No, it's wonderful to be obedient to the Lord. I'm thankful to God that we can surrender and yield and submit to you. Lord, what a beauty that is to you, and what a beautiful thing it is to our lives. God, because it is the life that we have. It's the abundant life that we live. And Jesus, in your precious name, come into every life that's here today, everyone that's listening. God, truly convict, chasten right now. Break down those walls and barriers. Help us to lay aside every weight, God. Help us to quit the indifference. Lord, help us to quit putting off. Help us to turn today. Draw hearts to this altar. Draw hearts to praise you. We thank you again for your wonderful love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.